Hello and welcome to More Like They, Let's Experiment show about finding new homes for the lost and forgotten characters of Marvel Crisis Protocol. I'm your host, Lexa White, and with me this week is Vincent Kirkoff. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good, Lexa. How are you?
I'm doing good. It was a long weekend. when half your staff is missing for most of the weekend and you are pulling 900 people in 12 hours, that's a long weekend.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. For those who somehow may not know you, would you mind introducing yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Vincent Kirkoff. I am one of the hosts of Alfredo Size 3 Taco Truck, a Marvel Crisis Protocol podcast. The most taco-related podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol. I also have a YouTube channel. I do the compressed Battle Report series, Run the Length. And I have a new series called Vince Was Wrong that's exploring lists that I thought were bad and that people have managed to do very well at a very high level with, and all kinds of other goofy YouTube nonsense. I also run Second Wind. Second Wind is the brewery tournament in Chicago. It's usually in October. We haven't exactly locked down. We haven't locked down 2024's date yet, but we're getting there. But safe to say, it's going to be in October. That's a 64-person tournament. Mm-hmm. And I've added another tournament to my repertoire. And, you know, on paper, Nate, my podcast mate, runs this tournament. But I've done a bunch of the legwork for it, so I'm going to take some credit. But this is Squad Goals. So if you've ever wanted to go to a Marvel Crisis Protocol team tournament like WTC, but you don't have the money or the skills to fly to Belgium, come to Chicago instead in May. So May 18th, 19th at Pastimes Comics and Games, we are hosting a 32-team, three-player team event. So it could be up to 96 players. We're a little bit more than halfway sold out right now. We have 18 teams spoken for. So the event's going to be very large, even if we don't sell another ticket. But tickets are on sale. I believe they're $150. So it's like $50 a person, which is like pretty standard for an event this size. It's going to be awesome. Lots of podcasters and big names are showing up. There's going to be a Muse team there. The Taco Boys are playing. Infamous is coming. There's going to be a whole bunch of people, as well as a bunch of like the big player names around the Midwest, like Zach Cohen and Johnny Pastrami, a bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good time. I'm really excited about it.
I'm very, very jealous that I won't be able to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'd love to have you if anything changes.
The problem is I work weekends, so going to a weekend event means also calling out of work for 3 days.
Yeah. I used to be right there with you.
And so it's much harder for me to get to events. I carve out the time to go to LVO each year, and I think that's about as much as my budget can handle. And that's only because with me helping out LVO, some of the costs of going to LVO are a little bit shortened for me because I help work the event. But yeah, that sounds like a fantastic event. I want to do a team event someday because I think I'm the perfect third person in a team event of like, you two go make whatever team you want. I will just take what's ever left and make something weird and interesting that people are like, I don't know what this is doing.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Being a wild card is definitely I love dark horsing. It's like my favorite thing in the world to do in a tournament. The year I won LVO was because people thought Shield was bad and nobody prepped for it, and it's not a very straightforward faction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I must ask you what sometimes people call the most difficult question of the week. What character not in Marvel Crisis Protocol do you want to see in Marvel Crisis Protocol?
Well, it's hard to pick just one, and I know you're going to love my answer here, Lexa, because I know we're of like mind on this. My favorite comic book run in Marvel is Runaways.
Yes.
I would love to see any one of the runaways. I'd really like to see the whole team. Mm-hmm. But I think the ones that are actually likely to happen, or the one that is actually likely to happen, is Nico.
Nico Mamone. Yep. Sister Grimm. Yeah. My goal. Yeah. My number one, too.
Yeah. I think it'd be great for her to be in. I think she fit right into A-Force. She's an integral member of a bunch of A-Force comics.
I think she is one of two conceivable people who could be a second A-Force leader.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with her is that her power set seems borderline impossible to translate to MCP, as her power is she can cast any spell, but never twice, I think.
Yes. But they have a conceit that they can do on the card that will allow them to do stuff. Because she can only cast the same spell once, but there's a thing in the comics where she keeps learning new languages, because when she does it in a different language, she gets to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can just change which language all of the names are in on the flip side to, like, display that.
I mean, I think there's, like, lots of very interesting ways they could go. They could go in a, Moon Knight-style direction, where at the start of your turn, you roll a dice, and based on what the dice faces, that's the type of attacks that you make this turn, whether mm-hmm. you're physical, energy, or mystic. Mm-hmm. I think there's lots of interesting ways they could go, and I have always really admired AMG's ability to take a character that seems like they would be very, very complicated mm-hmm. and design them in a very simple, straightforward way. I think the two great examples of this are Mystique and Mysterio.
Yep.
Who could have been the most mechanically complicated characters in the world and are very simple despite that.
Mm-hmm.
But still like represent their powers well.
Yes. I think I like the designs from AMG 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple designs that I will hop on. I still despise the design of Gwenpool.
Yeah, I mean,
taking the weirdest character and making the least wacky card in the entire game feels like a disconnect. Even if I think she is a very good model.
I mean, I agree with you that she could have been wackier. I'm not sure I fully support that she's a very good model.
I am known for my love of warhorses, and Gwenpool is like a classic warhorse type character.
She could hold if she didn't lose the best part of her kit by picking up an extract, I'd be with you. I think I don't understand why Miles is allowed to have an extract to move 3 and she's not, but
yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, whatever. That is a consummate discussion.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hit a home run every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my issues with Kitty Pryde's design are simply because I already designed one and I did cool stuff, and they didn't do the cool stuff I thought they could do. Thanks. But
but the model's good and is going to see play.
Like, yeah, it is. I've yet to pick mine up. That's probably going to be in the next couple of days. I finally get out to the store to pick them up. You know, the whole life of working weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, who did you bring for us to talk about today?
So I am somewhat known as a S.H.I.E.L.D. player a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I have, surprise, surprise, I've brought a S.H.I.E.L.D. model. I've brought Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos, who I think are the most underrated 3-threat in the game at the moment.
Yes. In my opinion, I think they are one of the best 3s in the game. And the fact that no one is
played
nowhere. Yeah. So we have done these characters one time before. We put them in a mix of different Hydra leaders. So we're just not going to worry about Hydra on the table today. What is the first affiliation that jumps out to you?
All right. One of my loves, and where I actually play them the most, is in, or outside of S.H.I.E.L.D., obviously, mm-hmm. is in Spider Foes.
Mm-hmm.
Spider Foes have this weird issue where they have quite a bit of action compression on the team, but a lot of their action compression doesn't work unless they're already in range.
Yeah.
Like, Venom can't bring people closer unless he's already in three. Mm-hmm. Goblin can't hit and run unless they're already in four. Mm-hmm. Kraven can't do his thing unless he already starts in range. He can't do his double tap.
Yeah.
Nonsense unless he's already in range. So, and the foes, I feel like, don't carry their weight as characters unless they start in range.
I can see that.
Like, very often, like, when foes turn into a walk attack team, they struggle to get enough done to win mm-hmm. games. And I think the Howling Commandos smooth a lot of that out,
mm-hmm.
as well as play into their, like, you made a mistake, you're dead kind of gameplay that they have with, you know, snack backs and trick or treats and tricks or traps.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can add Got Your Back to the mix. So, like,
yeah,
it's very fun and mechanically on flavor, if not flavor on flavor.
Yeah. The first one I want to bring up, just because I have done this once and it's super fun. The Howling Commandos as a cable delivery service for cable, in X-Force, because if things work out, you can get cable onto their back B without spending a single move action on turn one.
Hmm. Yeah, because he goes two forward, and then they place him two forward, and then he places himself two forward again.
Yeah, so you cat and mouse forward, and then you walk up, attack. If you get the pursuit trigger, you get them the full distance two forward from cable, and then the medium base one forward, and then he places two forward again, and he's on their back point, and then he's suddenly doing, what, 2 5 dice attack double rerolls onto whoever's trying to hold that back point.
I think that's cool. I'll follow up with, I think Criminal Syndicate is a pretty interesting place for them.
Yep.
Especially in any of the shells that play either Elektra or Daredevil as mm-hmm. one of their core members.
Yep.
Because of their interaction with Grunts.
Mm-hmm.
And while Criminal Syndicate has, quote unquote, the worst Grunts, they come back the easiest and the freest.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. they come back when you're doing a thing you already want to do anyway.
Yes. And I actually,
and so,
I think that's specifically the reason I don't think they are the worst grunts. I think mm-hmm. the ease of access to their grunts make their grunts so much better than most people give them credit for.
Yeah. And, well, I do think they are the worst grunts. I think grunts is like one of the strongest mechanics in the game.
Yes.
So like being the worst grunts is like a great place to be. It's like being the worst S tier faction. You're like, oh no.
Do we need to call you the Wambulance?
Yeah.
I've been playing a fair bit of Claw recently with the mm-hmm. Electro grunts and stuff. I will also say for everyone at home, because I've been using him in Claw, I will bring up this interaction. Bob does not trigger Got Your Back.
Yeah, unfortunately. I would be playing Bob over Bullseye if that's how that worked.
Yes, that would be amazing. But he still does trigger Claw.
He does trigger Claw? Really?
Yeah, Claw does not care if it's an allied or enemy effect or if it's dazed or KO. He's just, whenever an ally character is dazed or KO'd, after the effect is resolved, Claw may advance short.
Yeah, that's not the reason that the interaction doesn't work.
Okay.
My understanding of it is that he prevents the daze. It's that the character, or he prevents the KO. The character is not KO'd.
From my understanding, it's he is not KO, but he is dazed. And so it
okay,
still
yeah.
triggers the daze condition.
Yeah, so it still triggers the daze on the commandos as well.
No.
Oh, because of dying to excessive violence?
No. I mean, but how is an allied effect causing the daze? So you can't get Got Your Back, because Got Your Back specifies enemy effect.
But oh, you're saying that because it puts the daze token on, it still triggers the thing.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. And the act of putting, so like he's triggering it as a daze.
Yes.
So that when they put the daze token on, is ruled as being dazed. Okay.
That is my understanding. I'm still waiting for a response formally from the rules form.
I would be surprised if they ruled that in Claw's favor. I would be hype if they did, though. I would immediately go ask the commandos question again.
Yeah. Well, no. So I asked the commandos question, and the way they ruled it...
Oh, it's because it's a friendly effect, and they'd have to shoot Bob. Okay, I follow now. Why this might work here and not there.
Yes.
They're like, yes, it is a daze, but it's an enemy. Okay, it's not an enemy effect. All right. Yeah, all right. I see it. I would be surprised.
Okay.
But also, I have been surprised lately by the rules a whole bunch. The claw list is very cool, especially like, so I have a, if we can do a little cross promotion here.
Yes, I've seen the video.
About how I was wrong about claw, and I talked to Vodka Blist, who took claw to LVO and beat some pretty good players with him as a character that was, you know, like, what I think my most recent video before that had been like, he's the worst character in the game. And for a very good player to do pretty well with him at LVO was surprising. And I was very excited to be wrong. And that list leans on Electra really hard. So it always has the grunts. And then it also, its synergy pieces are like Hela, who's getting the souls off the grunts dying. And you could, in theory, do a similar thing with the commandos. Now they don't trigger when you kill them yourself with the... thing, but you know, it, when somebody else kills them, you can shoot somebody, like, why not?
What other variations jump out to you? Because there's a couple other that are kind of in my head.
Well, why don't you go? I just went with Criminal Syndicate.
I do think, like, there's kind of the classic ones. Any power effect affecting affiliation is good. Classic Steve Inhumans that allow them to not have to get an enemy on the midline to Royal Decree on turn one. Because that is something your opponent can play around, and the most high-level competitive teams are trying to play around without leaving a character within on that midline to get shot.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. I heard that you... Did you name a specific affiliation or just the ones that can do that?
I said Avengers or Inhumans. Classic Steve Avengers or Inhumans. Those are like the two that do that.
I want to add one to that.
Okay.
Which is Dark Dimension.
Yes.
I love... So this is not good, but I find it really fun and funny to do is take Dormammu... And you take both take both Royal Decree characters, and you can put him in front of the deployment zone on turn one before or in front of the midline before he activates on turn one, because they both have two power to start.
Yeah, that is something you can 100% do.
And, which means he can shoot into like their deployment zone if they deployed all the way forward. You can shoot the stuff. You can double tap the.
Well, and Dark Dimension is also the affiliation where you can turn one on patrol if you want to. Which, that card is insane when you get to play it on turn one.
Yeah, if that card didn't cost power, that would be a very, very good card.
we saw it get played turn one a couple of times during gymnastics, and before they even activated, both Spider-Woman and Captain Marvel were halfway up the board. I think Howling Commandos also are a team that likes effects that allow them to that benefit from being getting attacks on the opponent's turn. I'm thinking of New Red Skull. I am thinking of any of the once per turn reroll affiliations. We already mentioned X-Force and Spider Foes. So there's a lot of stuff in that realm that they also like.
I also think they can be interesting in Cabal.
Yep.
As one of the issues that they have is power generation. So if you play them in Red Skull 1, they get to their kind of their kit is kind of silly.
Yes.
If it gets easy access to power.
Uh-huh.
With, you know, like long range old school flurry on their spender.
Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of assist in the Red Skull plan of like moving your characters around.
Mm-hmm. I am a known Red Skull one enjoyer. I have
I know that you are.
Yes. I have built a team that just wants to play Red Skull, Zemo, Ulic, and some other charge characters, and advance to 1D for 4 on turn 1, and then say goodbye to your backline.
Alright. So I think that's everything that I'm vaguely interested in.
Mm-hmm.
As well, do you have anybody else?
I do want to kind of give a special shout out to the new kid on the block, Xavier. I think the Howling Commandos are going to be spending power pretty consistently. They have a power that they can use on the opposing turn, and so they get that, and it helps their power economy. It gets that, like, pass the power around train working very well, and they don't mind the additional power either.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's try to narrow this down a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. What is jumping out to you?
Well, and so nothing particularly is jumping out directly at me, but there's a couple that I've played around with that mm-hmm. I'd like to kind of nix right away, which are Inhumans and to a lesser extent Xavier, because it functions the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So in Inhumans, they struggle to like want the Commandos because they just, you know, they haven't. They have it in faction right there on a one threat more model.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up not really doing it except at very, very high threat ranges.
Yeah.
And then for Xavier, while this effect, I think this is a thing that he could use really well. He kind of has it in Scott and in Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Because Emma can play
Headmistress.
Headmistress after getting a power, because the power you don't have to spend on a superpower.
Yep.
And they don't immediately kick off that train, and they don't play into like the rest of the X-Men. They're like a very like attrition-y focused piece. They're mm-hmm. like attrition and position fixing.
Yeah.
So with that, the things that jump out to me are, or that want that game plan of the things we've talked about
mm-hmm.
are Criminal Syndicate,
mm-hmm.
Cabal, and Dark Dimension.
mm-hmm.
And X-Force.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd also like to nix Spider Foes, because mm-hmm. modern foes play a very scenario focused game.
Yeah.
And while we can do goblin foes and we can kind of build that, they don't fix all the problems of goblin foes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the new releases will help with the problems of goblin foes.
Yeah, and it's also like it's gonna immediately date the episode hard if like those come out in like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're probably gonna get spoilers before you even get the episode out. Here's hoping.
Yeah. If it's nice to us.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if they held back stuff and just did a big like, here's everything at Adepticon. But we shall see.
Yeah.
All
right. Are you feeling strongly any which way? So I kind of like X-Force. I like Criminal Syndicate. And I think I like X-Force and I like Criminal Syndicate.
I like both of those options too. We've done a couple Criminal Syndicates recently. So let's go with X-Force, because I think it's been a while since we've touched an X-Force list.
All right. So I think the main concern I have here with X-Force, mm-hmm. as we're going into it, is that Cable already has built-in action compression.
Yes.
But I think what that means is that we now have, this kind of babysitting model, but he doesn't have to babysit the leader.
Yeah.
And can kind of like help all the other models going on, which also means we don't have to put our hybrid support piece right next to our five threat, making this 8-point package.
Yeah.
That has to just kind of move around together. the way that like Inhumans does with Black Bolt.
Yeah. And I think, and the first model I kind of want to get in here because I think they are the one that benefits most from the Howling Commandos giving them the support, is Domino.
Yes. Domino is like one of the hardest models to play in X-Force, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. She sees quite a bit of play in X-Men because the Storm Hop and Scott can kind of fix her positioning.
Yeah.
And let her get where she needs to go and then light something up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in X-Force, she's often like, walk, double tap, do I live? Next turn. Next turn, I'm going to one round it.
Yeah. But with the ability to set her up with the place ahead of time, she could much more likely one round someone.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And while they don't take full advantage of the X-Force reroll, because, you know, like the X-Force reroll doesn't create more power for them.
Yeah.
They do get to use it more often when they do counterattack stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think playing a little, not like super low to the ground, because I don't think X-Force can ever play super low to the ground.
Yeah.
But I think like leaning towards our threes mm-hmm. and Honey Badger specifically, because I know a lot of X-Force lists love to like not play Honey Badger and not play other twos.
Mm-hmm.
They like kind of the fours game. I think leaning into that lower point level will also help us like fix or get the most out of the commandos or really let them yeah. shine.
And Deadpool's another great three threat.
He is. He has the same problem where he has leg day now, where yeah. he also can like just kind of take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, I think you play both of those mm-hmm. if we got like hammers, which obviously like X-Force loves hammers. And I think is legitimately good at it now that it has Deadpool and Domino.
Yes.
It has like multiple attack characters.
So I think Deadpool is actually beneficial to the Commandos in a very different way than Domino.
Okay.
Because Deadpool is a full health on his front sight that people will want to kill.
Okay.
He's a very easy got your back trigger to set up.
Hmm. All right. I think it's so interesting because like I think you got to be careful with how many like whether you're like bringing characters you're like these characters are easy to kill so I'm gonna get lots of got your backs.
Yeah.
And I think you just bring kind of like lower threat characters and then yeah. when people expend the resources to actually get through your stuff,
mm-hmm.
then you get them.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I think, how do I phrase this? Deadpool, unlike most characters, gets better on his backside than his
mm-hmm.
than basically anybody else. Because he does not lose the ability to contest the cues, because he still contests them as healthy.
And just gets way better on his backside.
Big upgrade on his backside. And then let's talk about the final three threat in affiliation, which is X-23.
Yeah, X-23 is like exactly what we were talking about when we were talking about spider foes.
Yeah.
Where she has action compression, but she's got to start in range.
Yeah.
And so, like, a thing you can do is let an activation or two go by.
Mm-hmm.
X-23 is safe, and mm-hmm. then the commandos walk up, shoot somebody, put X-23 in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now X-23 can kill whatever the commando shot.
Yeah.
And because a bunch of activations have happened, X-23 is not in as much danger of dying. Now mm-hmm. that I've, you know, like placed her into a committed spot.
Mm-hmm.
And also this model's just busted. I can't stand any of the, I hate playing against all of the claw people.
All of them?
Yes. I don't like playing against either of the Logans. I don't like playing against Logan, the Wolverine or Wolverine, the Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like playing against X-23. And Honey Badger is fine.
Honey Badger is the least offensive of them all.
Yes, and I don't consider the Sabretooth's Claw Boys.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I don't know why. I don't have a good reason.
I do.
Probably because the claws are on their fingertips,
rather than between their knuckles.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No. So I've recently started playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, and that is where Honey Badger is an absolute menace. because she just has an ability that adds bonus damage whenever another character does ticks of damage. And so you just put her with a character that does, like, I do 20, like, 5 damage ticks, and suddenly I'm doing, like, 30,000 damage to you. I'm sorry. Do we want any of a fourth? I feel like we want at least one in affiliation fourth man.
I do, too. I think that, so I think that Psylocke will be good here, because Psylocke will let us, when we bump into those other gun lines or those other ranged attack characters playing two stealth models into playing sneaky sis could be really, really strong. So I think I like Psylocke. Are you doing this list live? Should I be?
I have it up. It's on my computer. There's no video component to this podcast, so you don't have to worry about that.
As long as somebody's writing stuff down.
Yes. She is also a character that has action compression, but you need to start within range to get that action compression.
Psylocke?
She has that telekinetic combat enhancement, but on turn one, she needs to be within that range four to get there.
Yeah, unless we're on Infinity Formula and you play cat and mouse on her.
Yes. Yes, there is that.
All right. I also think the commandos can help Bishop. I'm actually much higher on Bishop than I think the community is. I think the community just looks at his worst case scenario, which admittedly is effing terrible.
Yeah.
Like, his worst case scenario is it's real bad.
Yeah.
It's real bad. It's real dumb. I think that. Yeah, I just like that sucks. But I think this character is solid despite that.
Yes.
Like, if you can avoid the I actually have two less health situation, I think that will help you a ton.
Yeah.
And also, I think the commandos will help you avoid that catastrophic situation. By being able to position him better and allow him to kind of like be out of his ideal window.
Yeah.
And then the commandos go put him in his ideal window later in the turn.
Yes. And I think the other thing about Bishop in my observation of him is that he is going to be a character that wants to spend down a lot. So being within range to actually execute his abilities to spend down is very valuable. And the Howling Commandos can help a lot with that. And he just gives an incinerate, which is nice. I of course, just because I may have to bring up OG Sabretooth. I consistently say that I still think he is the best cube carrier in the game because he is the only healing factor long mover.
Yeah, he's not the fastest healing factor character.
I just find his consequential mix of being a healing factor long mover, which allows him to get stuff some other people can't, just on move actions, get stuff without spending power that other people can't, and the fact that he is a counterattack character, so in the act of getting off the cube off of him, he is generally going to take a chunk out of you in return.
Yeah.
But
I'm not totally sold on Sabretooth. I think where Sabretooth does shine the best is when you're in the like kaiju meta. Where like there's lots of big things. Exceptional healing will help stop him from being one shot, and then he'll get his counterplay. And then where you can actually consistently get No Mercy off.
Yeah.
Because, like, the problem with No Mercy is that when characters have 3 damage on them, you usually don't need 3 more dice.
Yeah.
They're usually, like, almost dead.
Uh-huh. But in kaiju meta, fantastic. Oh, you have 3 damage out of 8? Cool, let me go kill you.
So I think what I would like to say for Sabretooth is, like, you can swap Sabretooth in here for one of the other fours we're going to put in.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a meta call thing to do. Like, if you have, like, a Malekith Savant running around, you have, like, you know, like, there's five Avengers players, and you know that every Avengers player has a Hulk because they're Avengers players, and that's what they do, right? Okay, like, we can maybe slap Sabretooth in here.
Yeah.
But I think stock standard, I don't think I would want Sabretooth.
Yeah, he is a meta call, not something you want to bring for the field.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then, what are your feelings on new Wolverine? On new OG Wolverine?
I think he's still the second best Wolverine in the game, but I think Affiliated tips him over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can give him rerolls, is really the thing that tips which one is better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because one brings his own rerolls. And, you know, like, there is diminishing returns on rerolls. And then OG Wolverine has the payout, best at what I do.
Oh, yeah.
For rerolls, where it's just like that reroll gets even better.
Mm-hmm. We have both death decreed a Doc Ock attack. We know how that can go.
Yeah, how it can go, but also, like, how it typically goes.
I will never quite get the high of one-shotting a Thanos with a death decreed Doc Ock attack.
Yeah, seems good. I haven't lived the Death Decree dream, despite having played a bunch of Thanos Goblin lately, a bunch of Thanos off foes lately.
Mm-hmm.
But back when we had Doomed Prophecy,
yeah,
I did play a bunch of Doomed Prophecy Doc Ock, where he's just, like, rolling around making double 8-die attacks and just, like, one-shotting characters. I have had some high highs on that.
I remember before the first character update, skew a bit of trivia, Black Panther's pounce was not once per turn. It was once per activation. So when you've guarded him, you got a second pounce.
Oh. That seems pretty good.
They changed that in the first character of Otto when they also banned All You've Got.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, so I think the last thing we have to talk about here. So if I recall correctly, we're, like, on the fence about whether we're playing Bishop or not.
Yeah,
we're definitely playing Cable. We're definitely playing Deadpool, Domino, 23, and Wolverine and Psylocke. Which puts us at how many characters? Like, six?
That puts us at 8 right now. Because I have Honey Badger right now.
You have Honey Badger.
And then Commandos.
So 6 X-Force. So I was about to bring up Honey Badger. Like, do we want to play Honey Badger? Do we want to play just Honey Badger? Do we want to play 2-2s? How do you, like, do we want to be really low to the ground, or do we want to just play Honey Badger and call it there? Because if a month ago you had asked me how to play X-Force,
yeah,
I would have told you that Honey Badger is on the bubble, but probably leave it home and play a different 2.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Bullseye with them a lot.
Yeah.
But with the new card they just got, Honey Badger gets a lot more exciting.
Oh, yeah. That's a super interesting card. I haven't quite grokked it because our local X-Force pilot hasn't been able to make weeklies recently because of college classes. So we haven't had a chance to see what that looks like on the board. But he's going to be coming back soon, and so I'm excited to see how that affects the game plan.
So I think with Preserve the Dream, and I think there's ultimately, like, I mean, we're locked in at this point. We've recorded half an episode, but Preserve the Dream is maybe an argument that the Commandos aren't as necessary because this gives them an Avengers Assemble style effect, allowing them to deliver themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that just means that maybe this list, as, you know, X-Force develops, maybe the Commandos slot into a positional based role. Like, maybe you play them into webs.
Yeah.
So that your chase game is just absolutely on point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take away, you have even more incinerate spam to, like, combat their really aggressive defense dice.
Yeah.
And especially because in the Webs matchup, you're not going to be playing Preserve the Tree.
No. No.
What are they going to attack Honey Badger? All their three threats?
What are you going to do? Walk into the old Web Depton?
Yeah. So, all right. So
we currently have two splash spots right now.
All right. Who do you like splashing with X-Force? You probably have more X-Force games than me. Like, we have an X-Force player that I talk to a lot, but that's it.
X-Force, the X-Force I have seen are generally more of that four spam X-Force, and they are playing, like, the generically good fours of Logan and Beta Ray Bill and Crimson Dynamo. But we're trying to be a little bit lower to the ground. I think the first choice I would present to us is a very classical choice, and that is Zemo.
Alright. I'm gonna say that Zemo is like the classic choice here.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's a world where you play Zemo and the Commandos.
That is 100% fair.
Right, because they're both a three threat support piece. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're thinking about Zemo, you should kind of dial back the other way, play the characters with compression.
Yes.
Use their compression to stay inside Zemo bubble and just go blasting.
Yeah.
So I think we're trying to build kind of a little bit of a different direction. So I think I would steer away from Zemo. I do want to bring back Crimson Dynamo.
Okay.
Because what I love about Crimson Dynamo when we are low to the ground, and like maybe this doesn't hold up as well when you have a five threat leader.
Yeah.
But I think that Crimson Dynamo, at least, so I primarily play Shield, and really helps keep Shield models alive and put them just out of reach of a lot of models. Because like every Shield model has like victim stats.
Yes.
Right? They're like, you know, def three or def four, five or six hit points based on how many threat they are.
Yeah.
And like, their defensive mechanics are they have guns. They're far away from you.
Yeah.
So I find that Crimson Dynamo can help keep low threat models alive, or maybe not even keep them alive, but make them expensive to kill. And also, I think he just synergizes so well with the Cable Shield.
Oh, like, it's
like
not...
maybe the thing that only happens at 20 threat, but like having them go, I'm gonna attack Psylocke, and you go, okay, Psylocke has plus two defense, reroll your first two dice, she's a martial artist, have a great time.
It's not quite my favorite synergy with him. I play a lot of Electro with him because doing the disruption field on martial powers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where it's the same thing, but then they have they take damage when they miss.
Yeah,
seems good.
And then also, Electro regains the power because she gets power whenever she deals damage with a superpower.
I think that also... so me and Nate were talking about this recently. Because Nate has this argument that we do all the time where I'll be like, the X-Men have a bunch of good models.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, Vince, where are they being splashed? No one's splashing X-Men. And I'm like... And I finally figured out my counter argument to this, which is there's really only like five models that are splashed.
Yeah. No.
Like in any kind of wide way.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's for good reason. I think there's, and it's not even like, so the models that are splashed wide are very strong, but the bigger issue is that there's no other models that do the thing they do. The reason that Bill is everywhere is he's the best eyes on the prize player. If they tomorrow printed a Bill with higher stats or printed a medium base, medium mover that makes two power on turn one, they would have, like, it almost doesn't matter what the rest of that package is. It would be looked at as a Bill replacement.
And his role in the game would change if suddenly they ban Eyes on the Prize.
Exactly. Like, he would fall off a cliff if Eyes on the Prize went away. So I think, and Dynamo's like that too. Dynamo is one of the best E specialists. I think if this list, which it looks like we might, if this list plays any number of E's, I think we should heavily consider Dynamo. And then with our other slot, as much as I'm annoyed by it, I think we need a safe grabber of some kind in order to be able to, like, come to the table prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're playing an attrition mirror, like, or, yeah, if we're playing anybody that threatens to just kill anything we put on the midline, we need to be able to grab a midline extract and back up. We can't just stand there and go down points. We're not...
Well, technically, we already have one.
We do?
Let me remember if I'm forgetting, if I'm getting stats mixed up, because my brain knows too much.
Bishop turn on two power on turn one?
I was mixing up, we have cat and mouse safe, I thought it was cat and mouse safe grab with Cable, was possible.
Oh, I guess you play cat and mouse, you walk forward, no, you don't have enough,
right.
You walk forward, you pick up, you can't teleport back. You need to be in a faction that has discounts.
Yeah. I think I thought I remembered something about that, but I...
Oh my gosh, if Cat and Mouse just, like, let you safe grab,
that would be
like, well, this faction would be wildly different strength.
I will also say we have a... How do I fix this? We have a not safe grab, but a protected grab is what I would call it. Because we have Howling Commandos.
Yes. The problem with that is that most people, like when they shoot your midline, they're at max range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if their max range is 3, we don't reach them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the commandos to make one power. And we don't have a way to cheat a power on the commandos.
Yeah.
So I think that playing a safe grab is probably a thing we want to do. And I think Hela is right up our alley.
Yeah, I love Hela dearly. I played her so much even before the change, and I've been playing her a fair bit. She's another character, again, we talked about earlier, in the Claw list. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, I think she, you know, like, we're playing kind of more low to the ground with our X4 specific picks, you know, to synergize with Got Your Back, and then we get the Souls mechanic going. Now, it's not ideal because we don't have grunts, but you can't have everything. And also, she's going to bring a diversity of attacks. So normally, I don't actually put a lot of stock in attack type. But when you're entirely missing one, specifically Mystic, there's a bunch of characters that are popular that are weak specifically to Mystic. Like, if you sit down and Defenders are on the other side of the table, Hela looks really good all of a sudden because you can get around Radar Sense on the leader that they're going to bring.
Same with Wakanda and OG Black Panther.
Yep.
Same with Miles.
And I think she plays into our plan a little bit better, because the thing that annoys me about Bill when you play the Eyes in the Prize plan is you walk up, you play Eyes in the Prize, you walk up, you grab it, you back up.
Yeah.
And then your turn two is like you dirtle.
Yes.
You like maybe you double walk to a point, or you like walk back onto the point that you backed up from and you bop the guy that's on it.
Mm-hmm.
And hope to make a power, and then maybe you throw him off of it. And like, those are okay turns. But if you're playing Hela, Hela's like full kit is online with two power at that range.
Mm-hmm. And like, also, the other thing about Hela to me is that I think she has better turn one options for a team when you are not, when you don't have priority.
And you're not playing eyes and you don't have the safe grab. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Like the walk up, Death's Embrace in, hit a guy is a sizable amount of damage. Hopefully it puts you on a point relevantly. It's backed up with the reroll. It's great.
Yeah. But that does give us 4/4s. And we were talking about wanting to not be the 4 train that...
Well, two of them being splashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Means we're never playing both of them.
Yeah.
We're never playing Hela and Crimson at the same time, which I think makes sense. I guess I would have to look at what lists specifically look like. But I think, so essentially we have 3 splashes. We have Dynamo, Hela, Commandos.
Yeah.
And I realize that I've just like done the exact same 3 splashes that are in my shield list. But whatever. I'm a simple human being. What do you want from me? And I think when you play them, they all have like very specific, like two of them have very specific purposes. And then the commandos are like a smoother that helps the entire list kind of function.
Yeah.
So I think I'm okay with the faction ballooning a little bit. Like, we were never going to be hyper low to the ground. We were never going to be like seven wide at 20 because we have a five threat leader. So like, we're going to be kind of mid range no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. I think it's just important to say that we're leaning low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, my thought was more, do we want to look at taking one of the two and only bringing one in affiliation four and bringing it out of affiliation three, other than the commandos? And that was my only thought there.
So I think the issue there is just like, we have such powerful threes that we're trying to leverage in the list. Is like, okay, when does this three come in over the commandos? Well, that's not what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Right. And then when does this three come in over X-23 and Deadpool and Domino?
Yeah.
But I think that situation, though, I think those Venn diagram, the overlap of those Venn diagrams is just like so small.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should avoid it.
Yeah. The only one I was thinking about was like, do we want a Miles or even a Pyro for, hey, we need an extract steal.
Extract drop. No, I think we're just all in on violence. I think we're just, I think we're just going for
it. We're choosing violence.
I think that kind of also locks us into, so if we're like that, I think it locks us into kind of playing researcher. So that when we're forced onto our extracts or we pick our extracts, we have an out for there just to be like a team full of extract droppers to just kind of be kind of limp-wristed.
Yes. And we're not quite the team that has the secondary benefits where Human Torch is something to even consider. I think if you're a team that is looking to play energy pay to flips, you want to take a look at Human Torch and see if he's the extract drop you want. But I know that is a contentious opinion.
I'm not a big fan of Human Torch. Like, I've played him if you have strong anti-opinions or strong opinions that disagree with me, I've probably played more Human Torch than you. I have played so much Human Torch. The guy annoys me. He definitely has places. Because I was playing him competitively for a minute. Like, even in Challenger.
Yeah.
As a solution to the X-Men problem by playing, like, a heavy Incinerate list. And then trying to set up Pyro to have a really powerful
pyrotechnics
turn mixed with the drop. And I found that to work. The issue is just like, the character has to stand way too close to the enemy and he has no death tech. And he's just like, he's just made of paper.
It's
like range three Shuri.
I have appreciation for some of, like, the mid-tier characters that I think are just slightly underappreciated. Not majorly underappreciated, but slightly. But I also, you know, have a brand for liking things that aren't the top tier.
I mean, that's fine. I just, man, I'm not a fan of that guy.
Yeah.
all right. So I think we've got our crew.
Yes. So now let's talk about crisis. You were talking about researcher and hammers.
Yeah, I like researcher. I like hammers. We have four models that use hammers incredibly well, and I'm not even counting Cable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have Domino, maybe the best model with a hammer in the game. Like, debatable, but it's like,
definitely up there.
Pretty close. Like, if you know you can always double tap, which is like part of the gimmick of what this list is trying to help set up.
Oh yeah.
She's going to be the highest damage output model with a hammer, like at least for her point level.
Yeah.
But like, I think hammers get really broken when you can make multiple attacks or more than two attacks with them.
Yeah.
So rapid fire is what she's using there. And then obviously like the more dice she has, the more likely she is to hit the skulls, the more likely things are to go her way.
Yeah.
Deadpool also has like bad rapid fire, but you
and
know,
multiple
it gets
bad
better.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, bad rapid fire on everything that he does.
Yes.
So I think that makes sense there. And then we have X-23, who can get a third attack if she kills somebody.
Yep.
And she's more likely to kill somebody if she's got a hammer.
Yep.
And then the commandos.
Yeah.
If somebody dies, you can shoot them with a gotcha back.
Yep. What is a third extract?
Okay. I like a couple different ones here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the free damage ones.
Yep.
And by that, I don't mean cubes. I like alien ship. I think alien ship is interesting here. Forces midline stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like we have priority, we safe grab, they safe grab, and then we just hold the other point with all of our guns.
Yes.
Feel like I dare you to step on the midline. I will murder you.
Yeah.
So I think that one's interesting. I think Skrulls is interesting for a similar reason. And then we also, I have this term I've been trying to make happen a bunch, but I don't think probably will, which is, I really want there to be a term for the characters that are fast enough to do the objectives that only fast characters can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pick up the close Skrull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been calling them, so locally here in Chicago, we've been calling them Fastos, which I know is a terrible name.
Yeah.
Community, come up with a better one, and I'll use your name. There should be a name for this type of character. The small base, long movers, the medium base, medium movers. Essentially, faster than small base, medium move, and medium base, small move, and large base, small move. Characters that are faster than that, I think, should have a name.
Yeah.
The commandos, they're one of them.
Yep.
So we've got one right there. So I think Skrulls is pretty interesting. I mean, the commandos are going to have a bad turn one and kind of a mediocre turn two, but you get an objective.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that there.
We also have the healing factor for Paranoia.
Oh, we do. That's right. Do you think Paranoia is too fast for us, though? Because my worry is going to be we lose priority. And we land on Paranoia.
Yeah.
And we end up going down like 3-1 objective wise. And that is that is a clock I don't know if X-Force can get out of.
Yeah. The one that jumps out to me most, just because it's one that I don't get to play as often, is Alien Ship. I like that crisis and I just don't get to play it as often as I want to.
Yeah. And I think like a dark horse factor there. And then also, I kind of suspect we're going to be playing kind of narrow crises. And although no, that's this thought makes no sense. I was going to say it is an extract that punishes people grouping up, but if we're on our extracts, we're probably not on a narrow crisis.
But it helps us in it punishes the other attrition teams.
Yeah, for building a bunch of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't punish us as bad because of healing factor and things like that. Whereas like I rolled 2 wilds. I splashed 2 damage on X-23 and Wolverine. Oh, no.
Whoopsie daisy. Whatever shall I do?
I guess I'll activate these characters and heal.
Yeah.
So I like that. The other one worth considering is Legacy Virus.
Yep.
Legacy Virus, even though can potentially be fast, is slow.
Yes.
Montesi would be the other one, but I don't like Montesi because of all of our
low mystic,
like death to mystic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also with us playing more low to the ground, beams are more dangerous to us. So, let's go with Alien Ship. I like Alien Ship.
Also, on a complete side note that you made me think of here, I'm now thinking about Alien Ship as an Asgard crisis.
So, I think Asgard's in a tough spot here. I think Asgard started as kind of a brawling affiliation. And as time has gone on, despite how they're being played, I think they have transitioned more and more to a crisis team.
Yeah.
That just kind of is lacking tools, especially as the game has tipped more extracts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And they have some. I actually, what I really hope is that the new box has an extract steel in it.
Mm-hmm.
An extract steel is in their color pie. They have Enchantress.
Yep.
So if they have a second extract steel, I think all of a sudden they can play this kind of aggressive Hellfire-esque game where, like, every one of their characters is making more power.
Yep.
They can get their stuff funded. They can get their steals funded. And they can just use their power to throw people off the points and can play a lower interaction game because they don't need to punch to get to their superpowers.
Well, and like the classically most successful Asgard list ever was one that did 0 points of interaction.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it was a mistake of design.
Yeah, but... and I think that's largely been, I don't really think that can happen again.
Yes.
But boy, I hope I'm right.
I hope I am right too.
because
Dashguard was...
yeah, and Hired Muscle, I don't ever want anything like Hired Muscle to ever show up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's incredibly problematic. But, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe on Alien Ship being in Asgard because, you know, like Thor can heal the stuff.
Yeah.
And also that can keep their power low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, also it's much more likely to trigger on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the power to spend to compensate for the heal. You have double safe line extract grabs. So even if you're going second, you can always grab one safely just by making sure not to line up either of your safe extract grabs across from their safe extract grab.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a conversation to delve in more another day. Let's go to Secures.
All right. So Secures, I think we can kind of go. I think we're kind of leaning kind of down the middle here.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to play Infinity Formula. I think X-Force is so interesting on Infinity Formula mm-hmm. because of Cat and Mal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that both Psylocke and Cable on Cat and Mouse are really interesting because Cat and Mouse is played before Infinity Power is given out.
Yep.
So you can use it to place them onto Infinity Portals and get extra power.
Mm-hmm.
So Cable can start the game on turn three, which is like only kind of interesting, but Psylocke starting the game on two power.
Yeah.
Is very interesting.
Well, suddenly on Infinity Formula, we get safe extract grabs on the side of the board that Cable is. Because suddenly he has third power.
Yes, we do. You're right. Because then he can walk up, pick up the thing,
and teleport and back. Yep.
And then take a shot at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Probably take a shot first, but you know.
I also think we like C's more than F's. Sorry, not more than F's, more than E's. I think as an affiliation, I think the thing that I've encountered most about X-Force is that they are so good at pressuring that midline between Cable and Psylocke and X-23 with no matter the cost. And we have the Howling Commandos to set up a domino in a pretty good spot to also pressure the middle of the board. That getting people to stay on the midline with a C is very beneficial to us.
Yeah, I also think it might be worth looking at Deadly Meteors.
Mm-hmm. I can also see Deadly Meteors. I also can see a little bit Mayor Fisk.
Fisk is, I think kind of tough. We have Wolverine who's immune, which is nice.
But I also think Howling Commandos only build in segments of one except for taking damage.
Mm-hmm.
Domino only builds in segments of one except for taking damage. Deadpool, half of his stuff is only building on segment. So, like, as long as you're keeping Cable back, you can build a team that does not care about stun at all.
Yeah, I think my issue here is, so, like, Fisk just kind of, no matter how good you are, always just kind of turns into a fight, like a big blob, big scrum in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, are we a faction that consistently wins those?
And you're not as sure.
I'm not as sure, but also, it's not a type of fight that the commandos are particularly good at.
Yeah, I can see
they that. They can get you there faster. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's not their game. That's not what they want to be doing. They want to be shooting you while they're in stealth.
Yes.
And then fixing positioning issues that you have throughout your team. Mm-hmm. I don't think Fisk lends itself to that. I think something more like Meteors or more like the E's or the B shapes can play more into that kind of a game.
I like Meteors. I think Meteors is an underplayed...
It's so Dark Horse at the moment. I've been playing it a bunch lately, and I think I really like it. And I really like it on some teams that, you know, I would never think to bring it with.
I love Claw on Meteors. Claw on Meteors is such an annoying bastard.
That's where I first bumped into it. It was because Vodka was playing Meteors in the Claw list. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting. Meteors also deals damage for us.
Yep.
Can help us in the attrition plan. We're healing factor on a lot of characters, so we don't care as much. Can be really, really helpful. We're not great at flipping the points, but we're fine at it.
Yeah. Like, we have some full energy defense, but not much.
Do we have any?
Hella. We have a Hella.
We have Hella. And Hella's so good at Meteors.
Yes.
Perfect.
Uh-huh.
Another reason to play Hella. And also, the Commandos, while not, like, fantastic at it, they can go very, very far.
Yes.
Like, they can personally, like, if they're freshly flipped, they can take a stab at all these Meteors because they're fast. Also, to get to the first Meteor, you have to be a Fasto. So, you know, Commandos are good for that.
Hella's also good for that, as we mentioned before.
Absolutely. I mean, Hella loves this scenario. The scenario is like...
This is Hella's baby.
Yeah, Hella loves the scenario. Like, especially with, like... Yeah, I mean, I think she's just great at the scenario.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, her power economy isn't strained whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm glancing at this also because I want to make power control X-Men happen. With Xavier, Xavier Rogue, Deadpool, Loki, just be a meanie. And this is one of those scenarios that fits right in there. I agree with you about Infinity Formula. I think we do too much interesting stuff on Infinity Formula not to bring it.
All right. Okay. And then I think the next thing we decide, I think we kind of have to play an E, or we should put... or we should put Crimson Dynamo back on the shelf.
Yeah.
I also think that if we're on Demons, it might be interesting to bring in Bishop here. I know that we're already kind of, we were trying to like stay away from the fours, but I don't know. I think the new stuff is like fairly interesting. I think he takes the cable buff incredibly well.
Yeah.
Being immune to incinerate's cool.
And like,
but also, he brings Incinerate with him, so maybe that's less good on Demons when it's like not a thing you care about.
And I think just in general, X-Force does not like Demons because so much of their group brings Incinerate, and so Demons breaks the parity, brings parity to the Incinerate rather than your ability to break it. How many characters in our list currently give out Incinerate? I think 3 or 4. Cause it's
3.
Yeah.
Cable, Domino,
Nick Fury,
Commandos.
Yeah.
And then like depends on how you want to count Honey Badger, but like that stacks, so probably not. All right. I guess our other question is like, what does our 15 look like when we end up on? Oh, I guess Domino or Crimson Dynamo staying in it anyway because we're playing Researcher.
Yeah.
I think I like Gamma here.
Fair enough.
I think we play Gamma and we just like. Okay, that's 7 of our points. Can we squeeze in with 8? We can't. Ugh. We can't play both our splash pieces at at 15. Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
Whatever. we don't need to play the Commandos at 15. It's fine. Just play Crimson Dynamo and stunt on them.
Mm-hmm. So we go Meteors, Infinity Formula, Gamma.
Yeah, I think that's where I've landed as well. I think it's definitely the set of situations that show off the Commandos the best.
Yeah. And that is what we are trying to do, so that sounds like a great plan.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're on to tactics.
Tactics cards. The Commandos right. technically come with one, but I don't think we play either of them.
It might be in the running for the worst card in the game.
The deployment one?
Yeah, well, because it also means that you play turn one down, an activation and three threat.
Mm-hmm.
And the Commandos, I feel like, are the most impactful on turn one.
Yes.
Where they threaten to, you know, brothers in arms someone up.
Yeah.
And, or siblings in arms someone up.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, like, punish the midline. Mm-hmm. Which is just, like, a thing you take off the table if you're playing Infiltration.
Yeah. And then, technically, they also have Over the Top, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Over the Top's, like, just play Face Me. It's, like, isn't it, like, way worse Face Me?
Yes and no.
During an allied Nick Fury or and the Howling Commandos activation, it can spend 2 power to play this card. Choose an enemy character within 4 of this character. The character advances its speed towards the chosen enemy character.
It's a you reposition rather than your opponent reposition, and it's about half the price.
Yeah, it's you move towards them if they're within 4 already.
Yeah.
The only character can attack you.
Yeah. I don't think cool. this is good.
Why would I ever want to do this? I'm already in range to shoot my gun, which has wild walk forward on it.
Yeah. No, this is, I can only see this being played by a Steve. And even that is like, there are better Steve cards.
Yeah. Okay, so we're not playing the Commandos cards.
Yes.
Let's play the X-Force cards. We're doing Cat and Mouse.
Yep.
We got to play Preserve the Dream. That card seems so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we play Pretty Sneaky Sis.
Yep.
Because it's probably a meta call, but if you have Guardians or Shield in your meta or the X-Force mirror.
Yeah.
You should play this card. This card's really good. Like, it should always be in your 10. It, like, if you know you have none of those three in there, maybe you can cut it, but, like,
probably
so when it's
be.
Good, it's so good.
Let's skip Dirty Work. Dirty Work is not a good card.
Dirty Work's bad.
They keep trying to remake Usurp the Throne, and it keeps not working. And then we go character-specific.
Yeah, we didn't bring Colossus, so we don't have
Fastball.
Sibling Rhyme early. Yeah, Fastball.
Cable doesn't have a card. Domino doesn't have a card. Honey
Crimson
Badger
Dynamo's
has...
card's bad.
Huh?
Crimson Dynamo's card's bad.
Yes. Honey Badger has a card. Deadpool has a couple cards that are probably not good enough. X-23, technically we have the Wolverines available to us, but I doubt that's something we're planning on going towards.
Mm-hmm.
Hella doesn't have a card. Wolverine.
Well, she has Eyes on the Prize.
Yes. So, like, named cards for them.
Yeah, named character cards, I got
don't
it.
Have any yet. My dream is that at Adepticon they announce a card pack that has the, like, official versions of the updated cards from this. From the most recent character update, and here are a new suite of like 50 character-specific team tactics cards for people throughout the game, that especially from earlier in the game that did not get them already.
I mean, that would be I'd be hyped for that, but I don't think that's very realistic.
Oh, I don't think it's realistic at all. That's why I said dream. I have a dream.
I do think it's very likely that. The new foes box has a character specific card for every single foe because that's like every foe has a character specific card.
Yes, I think so. Yes, I think so. No.
They're not all good.
Who
doesn't?
Kingpin.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Kingpin does not have a character specific card. Right. I think of All According to Plan as his character-specific card, but it's criminal.
Yep.
It just has a big picture of him on it. Yeah, you're right. Kingpin doesn't.
But Green Goblin and Dark Ock do. Like,
And then Otto Octavius has one.
Yep. Kraven,
and then Kraven has one, but it's weird and bad and really funny. Lizard.
It is still my white whale is to successfully execute a Fearful Symmetry. It's not going to be good, but it's a dream, and it's more possible now than ever.
It's true. Yeah, there's spectaculars running around.
There is a playable Peter Parker that Kraven can actually kill. Psylocke is all the right. Only other character that has real, like, in contention character specific cards.
Yeah, and I remember. Okay, so Psionic Constructs is a meme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this card's worth the slot. I think I would rather just play Recal.
That's fair. Especially since we have a fair bit of Mystic access in our team already.
Yeah. Crimson Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced is a good card, but it is among the most fun cards I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
So I think let's tentatively slot it in.
Yeah.
And if we're looking for a slot, we can pull this card.
Mm-hmm. And like, it does give healing factors, so suddenly we get like another target for exceptional healing that we're already going to be playing. But I think exceptional healing, eyes on the prize, no matter the cost, I think all come into this list.
Yeah, exceptional healing. Yes, I agree. Which leaves us with a slot. Or does it leave us with two?
It leaves us with one second. It leaves us with one slot and all restricted, which we haven't discussed yet.
You haven't used yet. All right. I'm a big believer in Brace Sack. I think Brace Sack are the two best restricted cards in the game by like a bajillion miles.
I can agree with that in a generic sense.
Okay.
I think there are other teams that are going to be wanting to play some of the other ones. I think Indomitable is actually a little bit underrated in Kaiju squads.
I agree. I like it. I've been playing it a little bit when I play Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
To like, because like so few things can push Ultron, and then when you do push Ultron, they do push or throw Ultron, you can play Indom.
Mm-hmm.
I
do think Deception is still really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Deception is probably number three. Deception is really powerful. But we're not playing Mystique.
Yeah, exactly. But Deception comes with a character tax.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't think Patchup is relevant for us.
Nope.
Like, you can play it on cable, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then...
Disarm is not worth the compensation.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Kaiju squads should be thinking about disarm.
Yeah, I can see that being fair. And then we are not a team that abuses advanced R&D, so we're not going to play advanced R&D.
Yeah. Like, advanced R&D is, like, mildly interesting in our squad as, you know, like, Cable can kick it off and put it on, you know, either a charge character or a X-23 to, like, give her... And I swipe at the midline, but I think just playing no matter the cost gets us most of the way there on the characters we would want to use.
Yes.
Advanced R&D on. So like, why spend our restricted slot there?
Mm-hmm. So
I think Brace Sack is where I would land.
Yeah. And then one slot left. I just kind of view Mission Objective as just that good of a card.
I think Mission Objective is really good. It's also really good in the meta right now because Rhino is everywhere.
Yep.
Rhino is all over the place. And... you know, the game's very much about extracts right now, so extract steals are really good. The other cards worth considering here, Fallback.
Yep.
Escort to Safety are both cards if you're worried about the straight-up attrition match. I think Fallback has lost a lot of its luster now that Bucky's not everywhere.
Yep.
There isn't guaranteed going to be something on your opponent's table to, like, blow them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, Rapid Fire is not as insane as it was.
I also want to bring up, while we may not be the best squad to utilize it, We have seen the tech piece of sucker if we are worried about the Age of Ultron. I don't think we're that worried actually about Age of Ultron.
I don't think so either. I think the vast majority of teams, and I think how this team will play into Ultron, is you just put damage on him and you don't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go with Ultron first, or you lose his activation.
Yeah.
And then if you've already gone with Ultron, I don't need to fight Ultron right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll kill his grunts. I don't need to shoot Ultron. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then we're going to do that. And then eventually I'm going to take your Ultron activation. It's going to win me the game because you're not going to activate your 5 threat.
And then...
And it's even more punishing because we have got your back.
Yeah.
To threaten that with.
Mm-hmm. And then... I can't remember if you mentioned or not the calibration matrix, I think. We own a kaiju, so it's not amazing for us, but we have...
It's good on... whatchamacallit? Cable.
Yeah. But I don't think that's enough. I think it would be more interesting if we were playing Bishop. Well, no, not really. Because mm-hmm. timing charts.
Yes, correct.
But if it's more interesting in places where you are playing people who count the skulls that are left behind. And we aren't really doing any of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm game to keep Crimson Dawn in. Let's just put mission objective in, and then mm-hmm. with like a little asterisk of like, hey, if you're gonna play this list, dial this to taste a little bit based yeah. on your meta, because the meta is very extract focused, at least for me, and probably for you as well, Lexa.
Yeah.
So mission objective is very powerful right now.
Mm-hmm. I also
and the most popular grabs are drops, not steals.
Mm-hmm. Right now, yeah. I could also see a case being made for Warpath.
Really? I am not the biggest... I've seen the popularity of Warpath spike recently. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't think this card's very good.
Yeah.
Like, and that's as somebody that plays it, like, has Warpath as a leadership.
Yes.
and loves it. Mm-hmm. And I just think as a tactics card, I just think that, like yes, the single short, like, it can maybe be an action.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there will be games where this is nothing.
Oh yeah, I think your 10th tactic card slot for the most part, or at least one of your tactic card slots in your 10, is going to be a thing of like, in some games this will be nothing, and you just need to know where to draw it in.
Yeah, I think I agree with that sentiment. I think Warpath is more likely to be nothing in X-Force mm-hmm. because of Preserve the Dream.
That is entirely fair.
Like, I think a lot of time, like, now we have two things that kind of trigger like that. Mm-hmm. I guess it would let you literally walk your entire team at them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. And also, this is a thing that we're kind of bringing the commandos for.
Yeah, that is entirely fair. So yeah, I think we have a full list here.
Okay.
So for everyone at home, the full roster is Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos, Cable, Domino, Honey Badger, Deadpool, X-23, Wolverine, Psylocke, Hela, Queen of Hell, Crimson Dynamo, and then for tactics cards, we have Preserve the Dream, Pretty Sneaky Sith, Cat and Mouse, Crimson Dawn, Exceptional Healing, Eyes on the Prize, No Matter the Cost, Brace for Impact, Sacrifice, and Mission Objective. And for secures, we have Deadly Meteors Mutate Civilians, Infinite Formula Goes Missing, Gamma Wave Sweeps Across the Midwest. Then for extract, we have Fear Grip World as Worthy Terrorized Cities, Research Station Attacked, and Alien Ship crashes in Downtown. I think overall that seems like a fun roster.
Yeah.
If people wanted to reach out to you, where could they find you?
You can find me on Alfredo's Size 3 Discord, a Marvel Crisis Protocol Discord server. you can find me, I'm on essentially all the like big discords for Marvel Crisis Protocol, essentially all the non-Patreon ones, reach out to me. I'm either the Kirkov, C-U-R-K-O-V, or some form of that running around. Ping any of the Alfredo's hosts or me, and you can find me pretty easily lurking in some kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. Discord somewhere. You can also find me on YouTube at Vincent Kirkov, C-U-R-K-O-V. And I also would really love if you guys came to Squad Goals, squadgoalsmcp.com, to find out all the details there and how you can register. It's three-man teams, you and two friends. Just come battle it out May 18th and 19th in Chicago, Illinois. It's going to be a great time.
Fantastic. And if you want to support the channel, the show, you can do so at patreon.com/LexaWhite, where not only do you get access to the Morlocks Discord, where you can see all sorts of fun stuff, including some of my custom Marvel Crisis Protocol creations, you also get fantastic bonus episodes about all sorts of fun stuff. My monthly check-in should be out, is out by now, and has, I think I did 13 movies and like 25 episodes of TV, if you want to hear what all the shit I've been watching is. And then I have some bonus episodes in the feeder. We are just, scheduling is a monster. So once I get some of those people pinned down for actual dates and times to record, I will let you guys know. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun.
And keep experimenting, people.